Colin, it's Shannon with you on this.
Oh, Robert.
Well, I don't even, I'm afraid to say what day of the week it is.
Yeah, don't you know, you, because people listen to these shows.
You say this anytime. All the time. You say this all the time.
But this is the magic of what we do now, a podcast.
Well, even if you're listening to it on Thursday, don't you want to know that it's Monday?
No, but the next thing you know, you're going to throw it to traffic. I mean, nobody cares.
I never
And you're going to talk.
I never threw it to traffic.
Daryl, here's my boy, Daryl Dahmer.
Oh, back in the day, yeah. And then I stopped doing it.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying they don't. The viewing, the listening habits of people now are so different. They listen when they want.
So I'm driving from one house to the other house today.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I turn, usually I have Sirius on and I'm listening to some music. But I turned on 680 News.
No, isn't it City News now?
Whatever they call it. I don't care what they call it. Oh. It was 680 News for 100 years. So now it's, in my mind, it will always be 680 News.
Okay.
Like it's the Sky Dome. So really, with all due respect, they ought to start hiring some people who have lived in Toronto for more than 6 days. I heard more mispronunciations of streets and things than in like a 10. I turned it off. It was so bad. And it wasn't one person. It was a whole collection of people.
Was there a traffic jam on Strachan Avenue or something?
No, there was a traffic jam on Spadina.
No, that's Ann Medina. She's Ann Medina. She's no, used
there was
to be
a,
on the
there
CDC.
Was a traffic problem on Spadina, and I almost went off the road.
Well, that's why there was an accident.
Like you cannot be going to the bus station as people are getting off the bus coming from another city and say, "Would you like to do traffic in Toronto?" You have to know how to pronounce the you know what streets.
Yeah, anyway. Don't be swearing.
I wasn't going to.
Okay.
We're going to talk baseball, and I don't think it'll be pleasant. Dave Perkins,
are you sure? I mean,
I'm thinking.
I got three texts. I got three texts as the top of the 10th inning started, and they all said, "Brad Hand."
Oh,
that's all the texts were. Brad Hand.
They ought to give him a fireman's hat.
Well.
And some water too.
Okay.
We're going to talk about it. Longley and Perkins when we come back after these messages. It's McCowan. It's Shannon. We don't know how long Shannon's going to be with us.
What does that mean?
He's on the East Coast and his internet is crap. So he's laughing. I can't hear him laugh even.
I detect hotel room art behind you, John.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what it is. But perhaps we'll just look at your beautiful face and try and say as little as possible so as not to embarrass the production quality of this program. Not that that's even possible. Dave Perkins, Rob Longley, join us, some baseball chatter. Well, you know, who knows, but the anticipation, the hope, I think, among Blue Jay fans was that they could sweep the Tigers. I thought 2 out of 3 was kind of the bare minimum, and they wind up winning 1 out of 2. Can't score runs, can't bring runners in, and the bullpen once again lets them down. We're close to this being over, aren't we, Perk?
Oh, God, no. Are you kidding? It's all about the jacket. Who gets to wear the jacket now? We really have to come on now. You're missing the point. The point is about who gets to have fun and wear the jacket. This is a team of 10-year-olds. I don't know if you've noticed, but Charlie has to take them for ice cream after each game, after they win. I never see anything like this. This is a bad team getting worse. Play terribly. Play the game terribly. Awful what they do. And I mean, baseball is so bad that, you know, they've been getting away with it because they slug. They can slug, and a lot of these guys slug in blowouts, but that's all they do. You know, they got starting pitching, and then you bring in the bullpen. Holy God, it's every day. It's just, You know, I don't know why they don't get a straight jacket and put Brad Hand in it in a close game. That would be the better jacket to have
for this team. I mean, I know you're partly being facetious, but
about what?
Well, I kind of like the attitude on this team. I mean, they look
the happiest fourth place team in history.
Well, I get it, and I mean, I kind of like that. I mean, I think this team has just a ton of potential, but I acknowledge there are flaws in this thing, in this lineup. Longley, what's your general sense here? Now that Perk has opened this can of weeds.
Well, I mean, I hate to say it, but I agree to with both of you guys. I mean, you know, they throw this jacket on these guys when they score a run to make the game 9-3 and they're losing 9-3. I mean, that's a little bit much, really. And it's all well and good to have fun and have fun when you're pounding out these runs in these big 12 run games and these 11 run games and the blowouts that they've had many of. But when you can't get the job done in the one run games and when you're now 2-9 in extra inning games, I mean, maybe we should ease up a little bit on the fun and figure out how to get guys around the bases. And you nailed it, Bob. I mean, yeah. I mean, is it a slugging game now? Like, whatever happened to the scoring runs the old-fashioned way, moving them from first to second to third and getting them home like the Detroit Tigers did for two or three games this weekend with a clearly inferior ball club, but with a much better managed ball club.
Well, I got news for you that Angels are an inferior ball club. Seattle's an inferior ball club. Washington's an inferior ball club. Detroit's an inferior ball club. And they're now, what, 4-11 again, or 4-9 against the last four series against crummy teams? Like, come on. I mean, this whole having fun stuff, I get it. I understand. You know what's really fun? Playing well. Playing well is the most fun you can have in any sport.
There are two things that have been factors with this team. The bullpen has been horrific all year long and can't hold the lead. Right. And they don't have anybody to go to. There really have been very few options. The second thing is, of late, this team has shown a curious inability to hit with runners in scoring position. They went, I think, 23 or more consecutive at-bats in this series with runners in scoring position before. I think they had one hit in the whole
series. One for 31.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, I don't think that isn't typical of the whole year. But if you combine that with a bullpen that, you know, brings kerosene instead of water to the fire, you're not going to win. I think the hitting is fine. Although I acknowledge what Perk says is that they do seem to be home run centric, but so is all of baseball. All of baseball, you know, everybody wants to hit a home run. That's how you get paid today.
And that's how you put on the jacket.
Well, if they put a jacket on for a single to right field, I think that'd look pretty stupid. Right. Don't you think?
If they gave a jacket for hitting behind the runner, this team would be naked.
But Rob, how much of the issue with this team goes to the bullpen and the lack of velocity in the bullpen, like the lack of pure velocity in the bullpen?
Yeah, I think that's fair, John. I mean, the only guy that really throws with a great degree of power and thus reliability right now is Jordan Romano. And if you were somehow able to inject some truth serum into Charlie Montoyo, the happiest manager in all of baseball, what would he tell you about the state of the bullpen? And what would he tell you about what he feels when he calls? Like, he has no idea what he's going to get. Whenever that bullpen door opens, he has zero idea what Brad Hand is going to do.
I was going to say, I can tell you what Brad Hand's going to do every time.
Pretty much, right? I mean, so now he's feeling snake, but he doesn't know who to call in. In a tight ball game, then everybody else around him starts to feel snake, but Marcus Semien made an error today. He's the best defender on that team. He threw the ball away. I mean, who knows? That happens in baseball. But this team knows that when they're in a close ball game like that, that, you know, they can't rely on their bullpen. And they're not scoring runs. They don't really have much of a chance of winning. And that's been proven all season long, but especially over the past couple of weeks.
Well, one of the things that we've talked about endlessly this year is this new philosophy in baseball – that is driven by statistics, we understand, that you don't really want a pitcher facing a lineup for a third time. You don't want a pitcher throwing a lot of innings or a lot of pitches. I don't know what the average length of a start for a Blue Jay pitcher is, but I'm guessing it's less than six innings. And the dilemma, and I know that there are statistics that demonstrate that if a pitcher faces a lineup for a third time, his success rate diminishes. I haven't looked at that, but I assume that is accurate. The part of the equation that I'd love to know if it's factored in is if you do that, if you take your pitcher out theoretically after five, maybe after six, you then have the necessity of finding three or maybe even four guys to go the rest of the way. Are earned runs are down overall in baseball? Is scoring down overall in baseball? Or are you simply replacing the runs that the starter would give up when he presumably gets tired for more runs from a bullpen that is leaky? Does anybody know the answer?
I think scoring was down until they brought in this nonsense about checking for the thumbtacks and the glue and all the other stuff. And now it's, scoring's back to where they want it, whatever that means. So I think things change that way. But my beef with the whole statistic thing is, watch the game. The game tells you exactly what you need to see.
Of course.
Robbie Ray's out there cruising some nights, and then I look up and he's gone. He's in the dugout, and here comes some gas can guy. And why? Because, well, we can't have a guy face a guy a third time because blah, blah, blah. And some pitchers work their guts out to go five innings, and some guys cruise and go eight. I mean, you got to watch the game. And I think it's just a strict black and white here. And that's – anyway.
Well, are Montoya's – are there, his hands tied that much?
Sure.
They are?
Oh, it got to be. Yeah, sure. I mean, there's – it's – you can't justify – a lot of the stuff, except that it's organizational. It's no reliever will pitch more than one inning. You know what I mean? This kind of stuff. You get all these crazy rules and things that go on. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah. He has very, very little room for instinct. I mean, he's basically managing upon the instructions that he's getting from the front office. But Bob, the starting pitching has actually been, they've been going deeper into games lately. I mean,
yes, they have.
I think I saw a stat after tonight's game that was the starting pitching in this series of the Tigers, the three games, they went 21 innings. So they averaged seven innings and they allowed two runs over 21 innings. Right. So it's back to what we're talking about. It's the bullpen that's letting this team down. And starters are actually going a little bit deeper into ball games. And I think part of that is because the reason that I spoke of earlier is that Montoya has no trust or no clue what he's going to get from any of those arms in the bullpen on any given night.
And as much as we like Romano, and Romano, as John points out, he's the guy in the bullpen who throws hard. He throws, he hits triple digits, throws hard, blah, blah, blah. But they clearly didn't want him as the closer because they went out and traded for him to be the closer. Mm-hmm. Right. So, and then other guys, Simber had closed a couple of games, and the other guy, what's his name, Richards.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they clearly didn't think that Romano was the guy. So,
yeah. And so, what did they do? They went and got three kind of, sort of, maybe once were, right, maybe could one day be closers. And right, that's not going to cut it, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, what does that do for Romano's, confidence?
That too, yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't want to. I mean, it's useless to have a conversation about the horses after they've escaped and the barn door, yep, has been left open. But and we may be at that point with this club that even if they get hot, and teams get hot, Dodgers up till today had won 10 in a row. I think Atlanta had won 9 in a row. Orioles had lost 18 in a row. So hot and cold does happen.
The only way the Yankees lose right now is to a hurricane. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Mm.
So
and the Jays have Baltimore 10 more times.
Right.
Right. And nobody ever points this out because everybody looks at Tampa Bay says, oh my God, Tampa Bay, you can't beat them. Tampa Bay's 15-1 against Baltimore this year. So God bless them. I mean, they're 30 games over 500 and everybody loves them, but they're 15-1 against Baltimore. So, you know, I mean, what's Toronto? Like 6-3, I think, against Baltimore, and they get 10 more games with them. So they'll win most of those 10 games.
Just well, you'd think up. So, but then again, yeah. As you just pointed out, they're better
than... They should have beat Washington and Detroit and Seattle and
California.
Well, except that if beyond the bullpen, if you look at it, I mean, obviously, Vladdy Guerrero is in a bit of a slump. He had a couple of chances today to hit the ball at the right time in the game. And when in the end, I guess he was 0-for-3 with two walks. And then George Springer's got to be back in the lineup. And like, when's he coming back? Do we know, Rob?
No, I think he's probably still a couple of weeks away. Originally, they thought maybe towards mid-September, but it may now be closer to the first week. He's actually been out on the field doing a little bit of stuff. So they think that the injury's not quite as bad as it was originally. And, I mean, let's face it, the offense went completely south as soon as they lost him. And if they can get him back in a week or so, 10 days or so that he wouldn't need a whole lot of time to get back up to speed, that could be the difference. But I'm going back to what you guys were saying about the Orioles. Like, let's say for argument's sake that they do go 10-0 against Baltimore, which wouldn't be a huge stretch.
You are in Disneyland these days. We are in the happiest place in the world.
But let's just say for arguments that this is going to happen. Like Twitter was saying last week that they were going to sweep Boston. Oh, yeah, they're going to sweep the Tigers and all that.
Sweep the Angels, yeah, sure.
But okay, let's say they do that. What are they going to do with 4 against the White Sox and 7 against the Yankees and 3 against the Athletics? Are they going to
sweep against those Tampa. Guys too?
Yeah, I mean.
6 against 10.
There's 10 gimme games on there, maybe. Although I'm not so sure this team can beat anybody regularly right now. But what about all those other games? What are they going to do against the good teams?
Well, they haven't beat good teams all year. They're sub-500 team against the American League. They're 8 games over 500 against the National League because everybody plays the National League East this year. National League East is horrible, right? Jays are 14-6. So they're 8 games over and they're 2 games over or 2 games under 500 against the American League. Now, what does that say? So they haven't played Baltimore a lot. Okay, we get that. So, I mean, you got to do better than play 500 against your own league. I mean, the best thing they got going for them is they're trying to chase Oakland. Well, Oakland, when they play their interleague games, they have to play the Dodgers and the Padres and you know what I mean? Right, right. San Francisco. And San Francisco beat Oakland again today. Like that's the best thing the Jays have going for them is the fact that, you know, maybe New York and Boston knock each other out kind of deal and Tampa, those teams kind of knock each other around and Jays get fat on Baltimore. I mean, that's their only hope, really.
Sounds to me like you guys are at least trying to be optimistic that this team can still be in this race. I'm very rapidly losing that level of optimism. And not because they didn't hit with runners in scoring position in this series. I think this team is a good hitting team, a very good hitting team. There are things that, you know, you're concerned about. They don't score a lot of runs late in ball games traditionally. They tend to score in bunches. They do tend to use the home run an awful lot. But you can't fix this bullpen. This bullpen is unfixable. It's too late to fix it. And there's absolutely no sign that any of these guys are figuring it out. I'm sure they're trying, but they're not doing it. The one piece of possible good news they could have is Stripling is apparently pretty close to coming back. And I suspect, don't you guys suspect they'll put him in the bullpen? I mean, they really don't need him in the starting rotation.
Yeah, they'll put him in as a long guy, though. I mean, he's not going to be the guy that's going to come in and close out baseball games. They're still clinging to some sort of hope that Nate Pearson is going to come back and throw fire for an inning or so. But, I mean, he had his third kind of rehab appearance today for Buffalo. He gave up a home run, whatever, that's going to happen in any level of baseball. But I mean, to pin your hopes on him coming in there and being the miracle worker in that bullpen, I think that's a pretty bold hope at this point, because as much as he's got talent and much as he has been such a high rated prospect for this team, he's yet to prove it in the big leagues. So, I mean, is that what we've come down to now, that you're hoping for a long guy like Stripling to come in and give you some sort of relief, or a hope and a prayer on Nate Pearson to be a miracle worker? I mean, that's because you're right, Bob. Help ain't coming from anywhere else. The trade deadline's long gone, and away we go, right?
Well, and the only thing I can say, I mean, Stripling has not been, you know, a Cy Young award winning pitcher, but he's been pretty effective, and he does throw strikes. And yes, as a starter, I agree with you, Rob. Theoretically, you would use him long. But you know what? This is all in time. This is panic mode time. I'd be more inclined to say, to go to Stripling and say, we want you to be the first guy out of the bullpen as often as possible, every other day if you can do it. And we want you to go as long as you can. Like if it's two innings, great. If it's three occasionally, great. Which then raises the question, even though Stripling has been a bullpen guy before, how often can you send him out there if he's pitching multiple innings? As a general rule, correct me if I'm wrong, but a one inning guy like a closer, 2 out of 3 days is max. You'd prefer 2 out of 4, but 2 out of 3 is absolute max. If you want Stripling to throw 2+ innings, can that be every other day? Is that too much? What do you guys think?
Every other day at best, I would think, right? I mean, depending on how many pitches he throws, but 2 to 3 innings, you're going to be up over 30 pitches. So yeah, every other day at best, but more than likely once every third day, I would think, as a long guy. Perk?
Yeah, but I mean, their philosophy is no reliever pitches more than one inning. So yeah, right. we do not see it that they're not going to reinvent the wheel now. But I mean, bullpen's one part of it. This is a bad defensive team. This is a terrible situation hitting team. This is a terrible base running team. They run the bases like drunks.
I don't agree. I don't agree at all with the base running.
Are you watching?
I'm watching every game
last week because Teoscar Hernandez forgot to slide into second and overran second base.
Well, I mean, come on. There are things, but I mean, you know, I think you're making way too much of it. I think this team runs the bases aggressively, and sometimes that look makes them look like they don't know what they're doing.
What makes a good base running team? What makes a good base runner? When you go for the extra base, do you make it? Period. That's all. Not do you run till you're out, which is, I mean, they play run till you're out baseball way too much. It's just, in my following anyway, in my opinion, they do. It's just the defense is bad. It's, you know, I mean, Springer certainly helped. Springer's a good outfielder, but boy, oh boy, it's, you know, I mean, Gurriel made 3 throws today that were a combined 100 feet off target. Well, they lost the game Friday when Gurriel made a throw home that was 40 feet off target.
But closer to first base.
Yeah. But I mean, good God. You know, but, I mean, this team leads the league in double plays not turned.
But Gurriel has also made some great throws. And
yeah, good. But it's like a goalie in the NHL. It's not the ones you stop. It's the ones you let in that can kill you. And I'll tell you, everybody runs on all the Blue Jays.
So what's the solution?
I was going to say, what's the option? Yeah.
Well, they show you right now. They play Teoscar before they play Gurriel, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, they put him in and pull Gurriel, like, so I guess, and Teoscar, not great outfielder, but he's better. I'll give him that. He's a lot better than when he started. But boy,
and not to pile on the baseball team, but the outfield was supposed to be where they had a ton of depth.
Right. Well, I mean, they can hit, they can all hit, but I mean, at the end of this year, when you know they start looking ahead to next year with all the salary stuff that's going to happen, and they still do not have a closer. So you can go out and spend 12, 14 million on a closer, or you can trade one of these outfielders for pitching. And I think that's what they're going to have to do.
Well, but that's a great theory, but you know, nobody's giving you pitching for cheap. Nothing costs more than pitching in baseball.
Well, I mean, but these guys can hit. These guys are not, it's not cheap when you're giving up guys like this.
But you're sitting here criticizing a guy like a Gurriel, which may be fair. Do you think other general managers are stupid enough that they're not watching this?
No, but they're going to overpay for him. They're going to take his bat at $4.8 million, which is his contract, and he's under contract next year for, what is it, 5.2, Robbie? It's really terrific contract. So they can live with him in the outfield for that kind of production, for that kind of money. He'd get them a real good return, I think.
Well,
you know, but you're going to have
to wait. I'll wait for that deal, because I'll tell you, as a general manager, I'm not making that move.
So you're going to keep.
I'm not going to give you. I'm not going to give you a stud, even bullpen guy, for an outfielder that, by your own acknowledgement, like both of you are saying, is a guy who missed home plate by a combined 100 feet in his last four throws to home. I mean, that kind of stuff is not hidden. You're either pregnant or you're not here.
Right.
And the notion that you know, the guy shouldn't be playing every day because he's a bad defensive outfielder with a bad arm is not going to be lost on other general managers, and they're not going to give you some stud out of their bullpen. I wouldn't do that, and I don't think you would either.
Yeah,
it depends what some guys need.
Yeah, I mean, and I agree with you, Bob. I mean, other GMs around the league have to be aware of what this guy is. And obviously, he's got a really promising bat and a friendly contract for sure. But even at the plate, he's not consistent. I mean, he'll go through some long droughts where he looks just terrible out there at the plate. And you mix that in with, he's definitely not an outfielder, and he gets the yips when you throw him on the infield. I mean, I'm not so sure what you're going to get for him, Berg. I don't know if you're going to get a real high-end reliever. Certainly not a legit star closer at this point. You're going to be able to get some pitching help, but I'm not sure you're going to be able to get exactly what you need.
Okay, so let's say they're not trading Springer at 30 million. Let's say that.
Fair.
And let's say they're going to keep T. Oscar, who's arbitration eligible, and he's going to what, 12, 15 million in arbitration?
Probably.
Let's say you're keeping Grichuk because he's down for 10-5 next year, and he is going nowhere. So all of a sudden now you're talking about the fourth outfielder that you guys want. You don't think you can sacrifice him?
Oh, I don't say you can't sacrifice him. What I said was you can't get what you want for him.
Yes, I agree.
You have to get creative. You have to, you use him, and you got somebody, you know, they had four catchers, traded one, you know, they got catching coming in the minors. They got parts to move. Atkins knows what he's doing out there. He knows what he needs. He knows what his you know excesses are.
Although,
but this to me, I wonder. In just listening to you guys, do the Jays need to change their philosophy of how to run a bullpen? You know, the whole concept of the inning per pitcher concept.
They have to change, John, the way they use their starting rotation. Because of
just look what you mean longer. Use them.
Yes.
Longer. Yeah.
Yes. You gotta expand by at least one inning. That's one less reliever that's gonna go out there. And I've said repeatedly over and over and over again that the more relievers you put out on the mound in any given day, the greater the chances that one of them doesn't have it that day.
Yep.
And all you need is you can throw a starter for five innings. Guy in the sixth is great. Guy in the seventh is great. Guy that comes in the eighth hasn't got it that day. Bang, bang, bang. You got four runs against you. Game's over. And you don't need Romano or whoever your closer is, because it doesn't matter anymore.
Too late.
Too late.
Don't you think that the great bullpens are built from the back forward? Don't you think they start with a closer? They start.
Sure,
you know,
they do.
When the Royals were good, they started with, you know, they had Wade Davis.
Everybody does. Yep.
That way, the Yankees had Chapman and moved all the way back. And I mean, go all the way back to the days of Gossage and Lyle and Henke and Ward. And, you know, like you see, used to say, Bob, you know, Ward go two, Henke go one. If the starter went six, that's a win.
Every day.
Yeah.
You know,
Blue Jays have done a great job in cobbling together. Well, all teams, you know, I've said repeatedly, and I'm getting criticized now because their bullpen is such crap, that the last thing I worry about is my bullpen, because bullpen pitchers are a dime a dozen. You can find them walking up and down the street. Well,
you didn't put the word good in there, Bob.
Well, but the Blue Jays have done that, have cobbled together bullpens repeatedly for years, and they have not imploded like this one has. In fact, I don't remember a Blue Jays bullpen that was even remotely close to as bad as this one has been. So I'm stocking this up to it as the year of the outlier, but I do suggest, and I don't know whether you guys are prepared to agree or not, that this new philosophy of two things: starting pitchers can't go as long as we think they can, or we know they can, and the concept of a bullpen guy should not pitch more than one inning. Like, who's the, since the beginning of time, one of the features of anybody's team is a long reliever.
Sure.
The phrase exists because it was a fact. You had one guy on your club who could give you two or three or more innings if you needed it. Who's that guy for the Blue Jays? Well, we don't know, because they don't have one, and they haven't developed one, and they're not interested in having one. Now, Stripling could be that guy very easily, but is Charlie going to use him that way? Or are the two brains upstairs, are they going to let him use Stripling as a long guy? I guess we're going to find out, but so far there's no indication that they will.
Yeah, right now it's Trent Thornton, and he's a guy who can barely stay on the roster. They've shuffled him back and forth from to Toronto to Buffalo a couple times already. It's a position, you're right, Bob, that they don't really see as a need. They're like, we get me to the fifth inning, and we have a sixth inning guy, a seventh inning guy, an eighth inning guy, and a ninth inning guy. And
no, but they don't. The problem is they might have a ninth inning guy, but six, seven, and eight is a crapshoot. Yeah.
But you hit the nail on the head, Bob. It's if you use five, six guys, all it takes is one guy to be having an off night, and
it's over.
And, yeah, but and, then you need to be able to rely on your hitters to get you out of the trouble. And sure. Right now, that's not happening, right?
It stopped happening. Yes, that's right. It stopped happening. Yeah, I mean, the only thing Charlie likes better than using six pitchers is using seven pitchers. Right.
The irony for this ball club with the run differential they have, what is it? I think 116 after today. You know, extra inning games with this lineup, the way they hit the ball normally, putting a guy at second base should be perfect for this team. Should be perfect for this team to win those games. And what is their record in extra inning games this year?
Two and nine.
Yeah. I mean, that's where you start to shake your head, not just at the bullpen, but at the overall aspect of the club. Right.
Well, but
and I
but,
go.
Sorry, Prick, but I think what we ought to do is look at those games and find out how many times that bullpen has come in with the kerosene, right, instead of the water.
Yeah.
You know, or, I mean, they don't get anybody out.
I'm going right back to that bloody jacket. You got a kid. Hey, there's Kevin Smith, right? Kevin Smith comes up today with and. He's at I forget what inning it was, but the phantom runner's out there, and this guy comes up and takes three of the longest swings you ever saw. Strike one, strike two, strike three. Just like that. Not, I'll hit the ball to the right side and move this guy over. None of that. It's, oh, I'm going to put that jacket on.
Who was on the bench? I wanted to know. I would not have. The kids play three games in the major leagues.
And that's
what I'm saying. He was one for nine or one for 10.
Right.
Why are you not pinch hitting for him?
They'd already used Espinal, hadn't they?
He'd already used. Yeah, he'd used two of his guys already to pinch hit. I don't know what else he had on the bench that he could use. Reese McGuire, I guess, would have been his other option, but I'm not so sure you're getting much more from Reese McGuire than you are from from Kevin Smith.
Oh, I take McGuire a hundred times over the, you know, Smith. And no disrespect to Smith. No, I'm just not going to put some snot-nosed punk who's been on in their three games. I'm not putting them in that position. It's not fair to the kid, and it's not fair to the team. And if you don't have a bat off the bench, why the hell don't you?
How come the Tigers bring up this kid Hill, and he's trying to hit the ball the other way with a guy at second, phantom runner at second? Does, you know, I'm sure his manager wants to see a home run too, although the Tigers don't give out jackets.
Jack.
But you know what I mean? But I'm just talking, I'm not knocking the kid. I'm just saying it's the whole thought process, which is with this team, it's always, we're only going to hit home runs. We don't hit behind the runner. We don't, you know, look for situational hitting. We go for the gusto every single time. And there's times you don't need the gusto.
We got to take a quick break. We'll come back with the guys in a moment. Back after these messages. Well, I don't know if we're solving anything.
No, oh, Bob, we've solved one thing, Bob. Tomorrow, I'm phoning Michael Budman at Roots. I'm getting the perk of new jacket. I am. Because this is obviously what is in his craw today is he doesn't have a good jacket. So Budman is going to deliver a new Roots jacket to Perkins.
Exactly. That's the whole thing. Or you could push them in a shopping cart. Like, how fucking funny is a shopping cart now that the Red Sox have lost 15 out of 18? Or, you know what I mean? Like all of a sudden this juvenile shit that they do is like, there's a place for it. But like Robbie says, when it's 9-3, like, do you really have to get up and dance about, somebody hits a Barfield, as we used to call them?
Well, I understand you're playing the role of the crotchety old man. Get off my lawn.
Okay, I'll do that.
That's Bob's job, Dave.
Yeah, that's what I do.
I like it though. I'm good at it.
You know what I really wish I could do? I really wish I could read the Toronto Star column by Dave Perkins.
Oh.
Best fourth place team in all of baseball. I mean, I think
the happiest. Happiest fourth place team in history. It's there's so much fun. And they go for ice cream. Charlie takes them for ice cream. I'd have ripped these assholes. I know every column now just has to be a bunch of statistics and what somebody's exit velocity. And I watch this stuff and I just shake my head. It's unbelievable.
Well, somebody explained to me why they brought Smith up. I having a decent year, I guess, but you're in a pennant race. You're in a race for not a pennant, but a race for a playoff spot.
Sure.
Why are you bringing up a snot-nosed puke at this time of year and then playing him? Is Espinal not good enough for you? What does this guy give you that Espinal doesn't give? I mean, I think he's a good defensive third baseman based on what I've seen, but so is Espinal. Espinal gets to just about everything.
Yeah.
He's got a really good arm.
Yeah, it's a bit of a curious promotion. I mean, obviously he was hitting the ball pretty well at AAA, but that's the kind of promotion you get, you make in June and July and see what the guy's made of, Bob. I agree.
September if you're out of it, Rob, right?
Right. They feel it, like they love guys who can play more than one position. So they know that they can throw him out in the outfield. And he played reasonable. I thought he looked pretty good at third base today. But as you said, sure, Espinal is really sharp over there. So
Espinal's a real good ball player.
I agree.
Yeah. Even at the plate?
The one
even
thing
at the, even at the plate?
Yeah.
The one thing he doesn't do that you want a third base, traditionally want a third baseman to do, is hit home runs.
Hit for power. Yeah.
Most third basemen hit for power. Correct?
Yeah.
And he's not that guy. But he was well over 300 for a good portion of this year, plays sound defense, has a great arm. You know, a place where they had a legitimate hole in the roster,
sure,
he has filled very nicely. Yep. But for some reason, this management team doesn't seem to think very highly of him. because the most he gets is he plays a couple of days and then they stick him on the bench and put somebody else in there. You know, they brought two guys in that essentially to replace him from time to time. And one of them is the kid. And the kid might be a great ball player at some point.
Yep.
And 2 weeks from now, when you're mathematically out of this thing, you bring Smith up. Say, okay, here you go. Let's see what you can do. That's how baseball works. Instead, they bring him up in the middle of when they're trying to win every game so they can get back in the hunt. It's just, it befuddles me.
I think that road trip last week, I think going 3-6 against those three teams, I think that just changed everything. You know?
Do you think they've given up?
No, I don't think so. It's just that the numbers have turned against them. They always had these 10 games in their pocket against Baltimore. But, you know, until 2 weeks ago, the Yankees were terrible. Then the Yankees changed everything by making trades for guys that changed the entire complexion of their team, right? They Gallo, and now they got some left-handed pop. They're athletic. You know, Gallo's a terrific outfielder. They've suddenly got a real good defensive outfield now, where before it was terrible, you know, with poor old Brett Gardner out there. And what's the kid, Andujar? He had to play left field. He couldn't catch a cold. But all of a sudden, things have changed. They got healthy. So they took off and won a bunch of games. And now the Blue Jays are looking at, oops, now we got to get Boston and Oakland and the Yankees. 3 weeks ago, the Yankees didn't look like they were going to be in the mix. You know what I mean? And now they do. So I think it got real. The water got a whole lot deeper when they went 3-6 on that trip.
Well, and guys, there's a real good chance that they're going to have to go 30-10 or something like that the rest of the way to make the playoffs.
Right.
Even if you spot them the 10 with Baltimore that everybody wants to give them. Are you going to go 20-10 the rest of the way? I don't know, man. That's you're asking a lot now.
They're 6 over .500. Boston and Oakland are what, 16 over? So there's the 10 difference right there.
Yeah.
So
that's assuming that both Boston and Oakland lose at the same time.
That's what I'm saying. The Jays win. That's what I'm saying. So it's all of a sudden it gets, you know this, John. If you're chasing one team ahead of you, you see him in your sights. You look at the scoreboard. You see he lost. You can move. You can gain. You can, you know. But when you're chasing three teams and they start playing each other, they don't always lose.
I love you guys keep mentioning they got 10 against Baltimore under the presumption that they're going to win on all 10 against Baltimore.
I don't think they will. They're 6-3 against
Baltimore. Well, I'll do better than that. I'll take any bet you two numbskulls want to make that they don't win 10 against Baltimore. And I'll take any bet you want to make they don't win 9 against Baltimore. And I'm not sure they're going to win 8 against Baltimore.
Exactly. Like
last I don't want week, that action.
Last week I'm listening and they're going up.
You can make that bet next week, you know. I mean, that's the good thing.
Last week I'm listening and they're talking about going to the Angels. And I'm hearing people in the media say, well, they got to sweep the Angels. Now, who the hell ever goes to the West Coast and sweeps anybody? Like, we've been watching baseball here for 45 years. Do you ever see a team go to the West Coast and sweep everybody?
No, it never happens.
Doesn't happen. This is baseball. You lose games. The best teams lose 60 games. Like people can go, oh, yeah, well, we're going to sweep them, and then we'll go and sweep Washington, and then we'll go. Like, really?
So before we kick you guys out or let you go, as the case may be, we've just spent 45 minutes slagging the hell out of the Toronto Blue Jays. And a lot of that is, frustration because they're not playing well. But overall, it's not a complete team by any stretch of the imagination. But have people overestimated how good this team can be? There are some young pieces here, but then there are some veteran pieces here. The starting rotation right now looks really good. The bullpen is an utter disaster. You guys hate the left fielder. and want to trade him for some stud reliever, which has no chance of happening. But are they close? Is this a team that just needs to figure a few things out? Perk?
Well, I don't think that question's answerable until you see what happens in free agency this winter. They lose Mats, they lose Robbie Ray, they lose Semien, potentially, because all three of them are free agents. They got, nine guys going to arbitration.
Yeah.
And some of those guys are going to get monster raises. You know, they got four guys under contract next year for $66 million. Four guys. So now you add in all these arbitration raises, and now you're going to give free agent money to $100 million to Semien, $100 million to Robbie Ray, and you know what I mean? Like, you can't fit it all under the same salary. You can't do it here with all, you know, not even mention the $300 million you're going to have to pay Vladdy one of these years, because you're going to have to give him the big contract, and then you got to give Bichette the big contract. So it's going to be very, very difficult to keep this group together starting 2 months from now. So let's see what they do and who they keep, whom they keep, and whom they have to trade or can't resign.
Well, of course, this assumes, Longley, that there is a tight budget here. And historically, Rogers has always said that they'll, you know, if it's the right thing to do, they'll spend the money. Are you buying that?
Well, I think we've seen evidence, Bob, that they're kind of willing to do it, right? I mean, you don't give $150 million to George Springer a year after giving 81 to Ryu. So, and I think that, you know, somehow Shapiro has been able to convince the poobahs at Rogers that this is going to be the way that they're going to have to go forward. But, you know, back to your original point about, is this team what we thought it would be? I don't think it's the team that fans thought and some in the media thought it would be. People just sort of thought this team would walk to playoff contention and easily make it this year based on what they did last year and based on acquiring Springer. But I think, to their credit, I mean, the front office can be criticized for a lot of things, but they knew going into the season that they're not there yet. They know that they need better players defensively, whether it be in the outfield or the infield. Kevin Biggio is not the third baseman for any team's future, right? I mean, if they started the season with him at third base, and they know they needed help in the bullpen, even with the before they got injuries, they knew that they had to add pieces there. The rotation has been a bit of a pleasant surprise, but they knew that 2021 was just the next step, that perhaps if everything went right, they'd be a playoff team this year, but they're looking more to 2022. I think that's a fair assessment of it.
See, I don't agree with that. I think they got sucked in last year by the cheese season and the extra playoff team, and they spent $200 million last winter thinking, we're a playoff team, we're there now. We're re-signing this guy. We're giving Springer 150 million. We're giving Semien 18 million. We re-signed Robbie Ray. I mean, all the way down the line, all the way down to 3 million for the reliever with the funny name is with the Giants now. What's his name? He was horrible here.
Chatwood.
Chatwood. Yeah. I mean, all the way down the line, they spent $200 million last winter. And I think they got sucked in by the cheese playoff position.
I think they thought that any problem they had this year or would have this year, they would just hit themselves out of it. They would just hit the ball more than anybody else and hit the ball everywhere in the park, out of the park. And that would be the remedy for any mistake that anybody made the rest of the way. And so when the hitting doesn't show up, now you know you have flaws, bigger flaws than you realize.
Yeah, that's a good point. Besides being the happiest fourth place team in baseball, they're a one-dimensional team. They really are. If they're not scoring 8 runs a game, then they're hold all wagers right now.
That's right.
There's no guarantee.
I mean, the Sunday game against the Tigers, 2-1 in the ninth inning. I guarantee the 15,000 people were there and the 500,000 people watching all rolled their eyes and said, "Oh no, here we go again."
Guaranteed.
Yep. Yeah, you did. You were in the press box. You did it.
I sure did. Well, I started to rewrite because I knew what was happening.
I sure miss those days.
Oh, I bet you do. I bet you do, Perk. Yeah, screw you.
We all acknowledge that the Toronto Blue Jays need at least a 2-touchdown lead going to the ninth inning if they're going to win a game. But it's not all bleak, folks. It's there are some good pieces here. And maybe this team can rally. Maybe they can figure it out. They really haven't had an extended run. But maybe it's because they're not good enough to have an extended run. We're going to find out over the next 5 weeks or so before the season grinds to a halt. Perkins Longley, lovely to see your happy, smiley, cheerful, optimistic faces. Now get lost.
I want my jacket.
I'm getting you a jacket, Perk.
Shannon's going to get you a jacket. Thank you, guys. Dave Perkins, Rob Longley, back to wrap after these messages. Well, that was fun.
Hey, listen, when the producer lined up Longley and Perkins, it was before the Detroit series started. And, you know, if they had gone 3-0, people would good. It's a good way to look at baseball. But never in his wildest imagination would they have lost 2 to Detroit and the piling on started.
Well, look, we're all kind of befuddled, I think. And while none of us in the media, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if Perk is a Blue Jays fan or not. He covered the team for a lot of years. Longley has covered the team. I've been around them since day one. Look, I'd like to see them win. And it's been a frustrating year. Because I really do think that there is a boatload of talent on this team. But there are flaws, and we talked about them over and over again.
Well,
the
as Rob
and the way the starting pitching has been used.
Rob touched on it, and he said it best, is it's a one-dimensional team right now. One-dimensional. And if those guys aren't at the plate hitting the ball, hitting the leather off the ball, then this team doesn't really have a chance to become a mediocre team pretty quickly.
Well, there's all that is true, but it's true because you can't rely on the bullpen to hold the lead of any kind. Mm-hmm. You know, great baseball teams win games 2-1, 1-0, 3-2.
Well,
with regularity, and they do it because they have a great bullpen. The Toronto Blue Jays had a great bullpen when they won World Series. They had a shutdown bullpen with Ward and Henke in year one, and then with just Ward in year two. The Blue Jays had a very good bullpen in 15 and 16 when they contended again. The bullpen is almost assuredly the worst in baseball. I don't know about statistically, but it's at least among the worst in baseball.
Yeah, it's funny. You wonder how many teams or how many markets people are saying that about their bullpens, because there's probably 5 or 6 fan bases and members of the media in 5 or 6 cities that are saying, God, well, this is the worst bullpen.
Except most of them are crappy teams that don't have a chance.
Yeah, and you're
picking on the bullpen. Mm-hmm. This is not a crappy team, in my opinion. This is a team that's good enough to seriously contend for a playoff spot and probably get one. Having said all that, if it's a wild card, it's one game and what the hell. Yeah. But it's horrific, and they don't have a chance to win. And I at least applaud them for doing what I suggested more than a week ago, and that is you've got to let these starting pitchers pitch another inning or two. Let them go out there and try and do it. And they've done that. They've let these guys go 7-8 innings. Mm-hmm. They've let these guys get to triple digits in pitches thrown. And I don't think they want to, but they had to. And unfortunately, all the starters have not, they're not throwing complete games.
No. Nope.
And unless you're throwing complete games with this team, you're probably going to lose. We'll take the rest of the night off. or the day off, depending on when you're watching or listening. And we'll be back with something else tomorrow.
Oh, no. We have somebody good tomorrow.
Well, here's a phrase you have heard before. I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, we might have a good day.
We'll see. For John Shannon, Bob McCowan.